Well, hello, George Hallford, Local Matters. And I've got one of the best radio jobs in this community and region. We get to go on and learn about people. It's the who. People who make a daily difference in our lives, in our community, the tapestry of our community and our region. And today we're very fortunate to have David Provo. Is that correct, David? That's Provo.
Yes, sir.
Like Utah. Okay, Provo, Utah. Okay. David is a veteran EMT and does, and we're going to let you tell us a lot more about this. I'm just getting you introduced. But this is a show about David, and my job is to do something very, very difficult for me. Those that know me, I've got to be quiet and listen, so it's going to do it. So, David, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
And now we're going to start, and you thought I was kidding with you off air. We're going to do a Billy Graham major religion entrance. Let's talk about you. You were born somewhere, and you had family, a mother and dad, and you grew up. And just tell us your story.
I was born in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Right. And I was only about 6 months old when we relocated to Orlando. So I grew up in Orlando, went to school there, graduated high school.
Okay.
And entered the military.
Okay.
I was a military policeman for 10 years.
Okay.
And that gave me some unique opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was a K-9 officer.
Okay.
And during that time, I kept getting temporary duty assignments. Mm-hmm. So I went to Hawaii to investigate a marijuana ring that was within the Army. I went to the White House military unit and worked for, actually two presidents. I went there twice,
mm-hmm.
and then came back to Fort Benning, which is where I was assigned.
Mm-hmm.
And, other than that, we had, something nobody knows, and it doesn't exist anymore, but we had all five Ranger battalions at Fort Benning at the same time.
Oh, my goodness, no.
Because they were redoing their facilities throughout the world.
Okay.
Where they're stationed. So we pretty much had to stay away from them because they would do whatever they wanted, and there wasn't a whole lot we could do about it.
Not a whole lot of accountability. Okay.
But, yeah, we used to transport $22 million a month up to the two infantry training divisions.
Wow.
And we were their escort, and they would pay the soldiers. They'd let them keep X amount of money, and then they had to go over to another table and get the rest of it in traveler checks.
Whoa.
So then the money got transported back to...
I got where they were going.
Yeah.
Back.
Because they only were allowed to keep it at that time, and this is in the 80s, they were only allowed to keep $35.
Oh, my goodness.
Of their monthly pay.
So the traveler's checks went where they were going.
Yeah.
And the $35 plus military somehow got them there.
Yeah.
Okay. And fed them and did whatever to
them. Well, yeah, we fed them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was obviously some soldiers sending money to their families overseas.
Sure. Okay.
But I had a very unique introduction. My first day there, I had a deuce and a half truck that was overpacked with 24 soldiers turnover.
Oh.
And it killed two of the soldiers, and I was part of that accident investigation. That hit me pretty hard. Second day I was there, the provost marshal said, "Hey, why don't you go ahead?" I just met him. He said, "Why don't you go ahead and take me down to the Martin Army Airfield?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, you want to speed it up a little bit?" And he turns his lights on, and it's like, okay. and I'm a nobody, so it's like,
where we're going.
What's going on, where we're going. And he had enough communications equipment to talk to the shuttle if he wanted to.
Wow.
And it turns out that he had a direct line to not only Defense Department, but to the White House. And I'm sitting there going, where is this? And he was getting ready to be the assistant provost marshal for the entire military police corps.
I got you. Okay.
And so he
was a VIP.
He was a Fulbright colonel that was getting ready to make major general.
General, sure.
But anyway, we get there, and we're in the Blackhawk, and they hand me this shotgun. And I'm going, okay. What's going on? And the colonel had a pistol and a shotgun, and it was loaded with rubber bullets. What they had was a fight up in the infantry division, one of them, at Sand Hill, and there was like 600 soldiers fighting.
Really?
And they couldn't get them to break it up on the ground, so we came in with a Blackhawk.
Yeah.
And with the rotor wash and the getting on the microphone that they had, and then those that didn't comply, we shot with rubber bullets and got that under control. So anyway, went on being a military policeman, canine, for the second largest base in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
Fort Hood being the largest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to go to a number of schools. They had pages of schools could go to. And I was there at the infantry, so I had jump school, and I had air assault. And I also went to Fort Bragg for some schooling for airborne.
Yeah.
So after that, I don't know. I wanted to fly helicopters, but they wouldn't let me.
Well, you've done just about everything else, so I guess
So when I got out of the Army, I went to work as a deputy sheriff.
Okay.
In Georgia, which is where Benning is at.
Sure.
And I stayed there for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. I had married while I was in the military. We had our son at Martin Army Hospital. And unfortunately, me and my wife got divorced.
Sure.
So she didn't like me getting out of the Army, but she didn't really tell me that. So,
yeah, I understand.
It's like she waits till we move, and it's 2 years later, and then okay. But I still love her to death. She's fine.
All right.
Went from deputy sheriff, and I was also doing security at Naval Sub Base, and which was Kings Bay, and then I moved. Then I was also went to EMT and paramedic school while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I volunteered for the local EMS agency because I was a full-time deputy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all my equipment in my patrol car, and I would just respond if they needed me to. From there, I relocated to Orlando after my divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to Orlando, sheriff's office wasn't hiring, but the fire department was, and I was duly qualified.
Sure, EMT. And
so it's the first time I really did the whole 24 on, 48 off deal. I said, this is pretty nice. Work 2-3 days a week, whatever. And the rest of the time, you know, I can go do stuff.
Sure.
So I ended up going to umpire school, professional umpire school.
Okay.
At Wendell Stats. After I went to school, I was able to umpire Division I OBL and those schools.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically, I could do an SEC non-conference game.
Wow, so you...
But that was a rare instance.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that for 20 years.
Mm.
Probably. And then while I was there, I got promoted all the way up to battalion chief. I was the EMS chief for the department of 1,200 firefighters.
Wow, you have really had...
Helicopters, the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
So I operated a $48 million budget every year. And
you.
That was just for EMS disposables and my flight program and what we paid them.
Mm-hmm.
And then managed the contracts. We did our own in-house paramedic program. And, of course, I was on multiple boards, hospital boards, mm-hmm. EMS. And we would meet usually once a month and talk about how to get patients out of the ER quicker.
Sure.
Or once we got them there, to get them to a bed quicker. And we come up with a pretty decent system. And while I was at the fire department, I went to the National Fire Academy for 12 years straight.
Man.
And was qualified as a train-to-trainer in multiple disciplines
sure,
in the
sure.
command and general staff for incident command system. And from there, I made it to 25 years,
mm-hmm.
got injured, and I was in a fire, got my neck broke.
Woo.
And I had slid down a fire pole and injured both my knees and my lower back.
Ooh.
So I needed to get them fixed, and the workman's comp where I was at enjoyed doing stuff. And mm-hmm. other than that, that's when I moved to Tennessee.
You know, that's an excellent segue right there. You have already shared what we're all about, and that is the tapestry in this community. We have people every here that we don't even know. You've already explained it. So when we come back, we're going to get you to Tennessee. Well, George Alford back with a true hero and the epitome of what this show is all about the who, about people. We have David Provo, and he has shared in the first segment about three or four lifetimes of stuff. And now we were asking the question at the break. So, David, how did you find the promised land? How did you find Tennessee? And then how did you find Cookeville?
My mother was born and raised in Mettmenville.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And all my cousins, aunts, and uncles are over there still.
So this was a homecoming.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And I asked my uncle, who's my older mother's brother, and I said, if you had to do again, where would you live? He said, Cook.
Oh, wow.
So I literally took 2 weeks, got a real estate agent, and stayed at the Comfort Inn for 2 weeks and went to different houses. And I must have looked at 36 houses.
How long ago was that, David?
That was in 2014.
Oh, so okay. So you've been here now for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And I found a house that I loved. I have great neighbors.
Yeah.
And it's called the Big Orange Reserve, or it's called, the Tennessee Reserve.
UT
Reserve.
Yep.
It's right there off of Big Orange Drive, and I like the name.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, I have great neighbors. I wouldn't move other than... I had my mother with me and my twin brother with me, and he was disabled. And I had some disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mainly from the military and then firefighting. So I came up here to get fixed. I went to Vanderbilt and Centennial. Both of them did different surgeries on me. And I got good to where I could move around and do things and whatnot. But, I continued schooling. Being a firefighter, I always wanted to go to culinary school. Mm-hmm. And Nashville had one.
Mm. Good Lord.
It was an international culinary school. Taught you 14 different cooking methods from all around the world. And it was absolutely a godsend that I went there. I mean, I'm thinking about all those meals I made at the fire station. I could have added a little bit of bit of that, and it would have made it much better.
Sure.
But I teased my guys about it. But they, for probably the last 8 years, I get phone calls or emails or texts saying, Chief, would you please come back? It's like, if I never step in Florida again, it wouldn't hurt me.
Yeah.
But I still have a sister and a brother there. And my sister's getting ready to retire from the fire department. She's the fire chief's executive assistant.
Yeah.
And my brother, unfortunately, has had several strokes, and he's disabled at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to stay there.
Sure.
He wants to come up here.
Mm-hmm.
because his son just moved to Salina.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got
y'all are all coming back home, man. It's good.
Yeah, and he absolutely loves it. He's in a holler and he's fixing up a cabin. And
oh man,
they've got it. They've been there they've been there a year, and they've got. I mean, from what it was to what they got it now is phenomenal.
Yeah,
and they've got a good piece of property.
Beautiful, beautiful area.
And
Dale Hollow Lake.
Oh, yeah. They're right. They're,
and the other lakes and water.
He's 200, 300 yards from Dale Hollow.
Yeah.
From the end by one of the marinas. And so he can walk down there, go fishing, and go swimming. It's that clear. And they love it. They picked up so many animals while they've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like five dogs, a goat.
Sure, yeah.
A pot-belly pig and...
Yeah. So, David, we were talking off air before this segment started.
Oh, yeah.
You took advantage. No. You're an example of a patriot who took advantage of everywhere you were. You just took advantage of what was there. And you bloomed where God plants you.
At home. Every time I tried to go back to being full-time law enforcement,
yeah,
he would make that somewhat unsuccessful and push me back to being a critical care paramedic.
See, it was
so I knew that.
Yeah, that was a God thing.
That was a God thing.
No question. Spiritual, yes.
I mean, it was almost like he hit me in the head. No lie. I felt it almost like that this is where God needs me. And
yeah, isn't that great?
And I was running 18 to 20 calls a shift before we started transporting, and then a little bit less than that. But I was up for almost the whole 24 hours because I had to write my reports and all that. And I literally send me from place to place. I was in one of the busiest rescues in the county, my favorite station, 41.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I have seen everything,
sure.
I think, or at least close to it. And when I moved up here, it was just, I took a two-year break, went to Gatlinburg a lot. I found a favorite stream and a couple trails I loved.
Oh, yeah.
And just decompressed for 2 years, just all that stuff that I had experienced, just trying to get it out of my head long enough to have a good night's sleep.
Yes.
Because that was a challenge. So anyway, I continued schooling. When I was in Orlando, I got my EMS degree, business management degree, my MBA.
Wow.
And
what'd you do in your spare
time? I didn't go to my doctorate, but I want to do that after I get my nursing degree.
Wow.
And I'm in my senior year of that here. So I'm loving it. I have a family on the other side, not the Matt Menville family. I got one nurse there. I've got family on the Provo side that I probably have 9 nurses.
Oh, wow.
Of different levels, whether they're doctorate, nurse practitioners, or have their BSN.
Yeah. You know, as we're concluding this second segment, we got a little time. There's a recurring thought that I'm having. Isn't it wonderful for you to have a life that you've had and to feel you're doing God's will?
Absolutely.
You're serving. I see that and I hear that in your voice and in your countenance. You're where you're supposed to be.
And I know I am. I feel like I am.
Isn't that wonderful? I
mean, it is.
Because most people today are searching. We're all searching to a degree.
Or they're miserable at work. There's not a day I went to work that I wasn't happy.
I feel the same way. But what a joy. And we're getting ready to come back here in just a moment and pick up. And we're just really getting started, David. And,
Sounds good.
We'll be right back. We've got a few seconds left. But George Alford with David. And I'm just curious, Provo, what's next, David? We'll be right back. Well, all I can say is, wow, this fulfills a mission that we have here, talking about people every day in our community and region who make a difference and who serve and are servants. And we've got one, obviously, here today, David Provo. We left off just a second ago. You're here and your family, your mother's side was from McMinnville, and you family, and let's pick up where you left off there. You have someone moved to Salina. You've got family coming back here from Florida. We talked about all the law enforcement people who from Florida who have come up here in large numbers. So let's go right back there.
Yeah, from what I know, as far as retirees go, Orange County Fire Rescue, we have a typical annual meeting of our flight crews and anybody else that wants to come. We've had it as small as 30 people, and we've had as many as 120.
Wow.
That come up here for our annual get-together. And the Orange County Sheriff's Office, whom I was a paramedic on their SWAT team,
mm-hmm.
so I get invited to their event, and they have well over 75 deputies that
sure.
are in the Upper Cumberland.
Okay.
Just an absolute pleasure to work with. We had Sheriff Barry
mm-hmm.
and was just a quintessential sheriff. I mean, mm-hmm. between his dad and him, and, of course, we had Sheriff Coleman,
mm-hmm.
who he was a state attorney,
mm-hmm.
and he took a segment sheriff, and we were having a lot of robberies, and he started putting signs on the front of every 7-Eleven and any of your convenience stores saying that if you are challenged and you don't drop your gun,
you're going
lawful or legal force or
will be
lethal force would be used. And he put a deputy in the coolers of almost every one of them.
Wow.
And there's hundreds of them in Orlando.
Yeah.
And
well, he was hands-on.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Very hands-on. And he took care. He got where we were having 36 robberies a day to convenience stores and took it down to less than one in the whole.
In Orlando, Florida.
In the
with
county.
All these tourists and people coming in and
yeah.
big city. Wow.
Tourists are taken care of in Orlando. They're
That's
on
great.
International
sure
Drive, and there is a large police presence. About half of that
That's
is
your economy. That's your
city of Orlando. That is our industry.
That is
tourism.
Florida. I mean, in addition to other things, but
yeah.
yes, when I think of Florida, that's what
yeah,
I think of.
That is the tourism industry, and that's what we depend on for money.
We depend on it in Tennessee a lot, too.
Yeah.
But we have mountains and rivers.
You got mountains and rivers and falls
and hiking, everything. We don't have an ocean. That's the only thing.
And that was the hardest part for me because I eat a lot of seafood, and this
is
a landlocked state.
Yeah, we can't make that up, can we?
No. When I was in culinary school, I remember we used to have to go to Nashville International every day and pick up fresh seafood
Oh, yeah.
to bring it in.
So we have seafood here, but it's shipped in.
It's shipped in. And
daily.
Yeah. Every single day there is a shipment of seafood of some sort coming in. And the amount of Black Angus that we have, people, I don't know if they're aware of it, but we have thousands of Black Angus cows that are grown here. And the grade of meat that they produce is up in the prime.
People don't think of agriculture, but it's the second largest or largest industry in Tennessee.
Tourism,
I think, is number two. Agriculture may be number one.
But it's just something of
who we are.
I mean, my family runs a nursery.
McMinnville's one of the...
Oh, yeah.
One of the largest in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it.
They do hydroculture.
So God willing, you're not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere. I've lost my twin brother to an illness. I lost my mom at 86 years old.
Wow, nice.
And she didn't retire till 83.
I
hope I make it.
We got a few minutes left. Look in the crystal ball and let's talk about the future and what you're doing and will be doing and your family. And
I am currently officiating high school sports.
Woo!
I do football, baseball, and softball.
That's great.
Of late, it's been more softball than baseball, but
that has gotten huge in this country. Women's softball has just exploded of all levels of play.
And of local Upper Cumberland students, I already have offers from UT. Whatever school they pretty much want, and they're very good at what they do.
I wasn't aware, but
Tennessee, yeah.
Tennessee's always been Nashville, this area, a big baseball area, region for baseball.
Oh, yeah, look at Tech's baseball.
Yes.
They made, the Final Eight or Final 16?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a great – we play
basketball, same thing.
Basketball. We got a football, a new stadium.
A new stadium. Cross my fingers on the performance of our team.
I believe we've got a
– They did a lot on the draft, or they're going to be doing
a lot. Facilities and the coach and recruiting. Yeah. And I believe we were co-champions of the OVC last year.
Yeah.
And this guy's first year.
Yeah. And they're building a new building for the football operations.
Yeah. So our future is bright, and you're going to be playing a role in that.
I plan on it. I'm going to school for OVC football.
That's great.
And as well as the OVC or OVL softball.
That's great.
So I'm looking in baseball both. I'm looking forward to that. I attend that in August. So
well, you didn't retire. You just transitioned.
Oh no, I just transitioned. I have to be busy. I can't sit
That's
at
me,
home.
Man. I get it.
I mean, I'm 62 years old, and
you're a young guy.
I feel like I'm 40.
There you go.
And I'm not done.
Well, we're blessed. We got a little bit of time left. We're blessed to have you. And what a story. We're just really getting started. I mean, your experiences, but again, you've sucked the marrow out of life, haven't you? You have just been out there on the front line in so many fields, taking advantage of opportunities that God has given you.
My family has been a great support for me. I was the only one out of my family to attend college.
As I was, and most of us.
Yeah, but my dad had a very successful sales career and finished sixth grade, maybe.
Oh, sure.
Because he went in the Army.
No, that's the story of America.
Yeah.
No, that generation of the South.
Well, my mom was very pro-service. Helping whoever needed to be helped.
Yep.
And that's been my mantra most of my life. If I can help somebody, I will.
David, it shows. In the brief time I've getting to know you and listen to you. You're a servant. You are a servant.
I'm proud of that.
And we're glad you're here.
Yeah, I may not be a millionaire, but I am in my heart.
Well, you are.
And I am with my God.
Yeah. Hey, well, what else is
it? I know.
And your health and your family and relationships. Yeah, it's great.
I'm at peace.
Yes.
And, you know, working for the high schools, doing their sports, I absolutely enjoy it.
You get to meet families and kids and some of the brightest.
Some of these kids that I'm umpiring a game for, I will eventually see in pro sports.
Yes.
And there's no doubt in that.
There's always a small percentage that get that cause the majority to get a bad rap. Yeah. We've got some bright
in this Upper Cumberland area. We have a couple of team or a couple of schools. I'd say three or four schools that have talent.
Baxter.
I'm starting.
Won the men's.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. I know who you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I live.
Go ahead.
I live a little bit outside of Baxter, but I'm only 2 miles from Baxter.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So, I mean, I love the Upper Cumberland.
Wonderful area.
It is so beautiful. If I didn't have to go west of here, I'd be fine. I can go east. I'll go up to Gatlinburg and some of the other smaller towns in East Tennessee, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Isn't it? And it's unspoiled, and for the most part, it's just our values, our culture, our people. It's just genuine.
Yeah, I mean, we go from the Blue Ridge to the Great National Park to the Appalachians.
Yep.
And I mean, how you go wrong?
But it's I told you I wasn't going to talk, and I've tried not to. But I moved here in the 70s, married a. I'll still say a West Tennessee girl, and have spent most of my life serving in Tennessee, and it's home. It's where I'm home. It's like you. This is home. And Cookeville, Putnam County, Upper Cumberland is. We retired here because of that.
Yeah,
this is just a wonderful place. Got about 30 seconds left. Anything you want to wrap up or mention or?
Just that. It was definitely a culture shock for me. I went from 1.5 million people to 32,000 at the time. Now I think we're at 36.
There you go.
But the people are so warm and inviting. And
friendly, genuine.
I mean, you go to a restaurant and it's that way. So,
and I hope we can keep it that way as we grow. And I believe we will. We're about out of time, David. Thank you so much and God bless you. And what you continue to do in it for our region.
And thank you for inviting me.
George Alford, Local Matters. We'll be back one day soon. Bye-bye.